Well, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, cats and dogs, and everyone else listening today, it's the big day. It is Iowa Caucus Day. Now, we do repeat this show throughout the week, so if you're listening to a repeat of this fine radio experience, well, you already know the result, but if you're listening the first time, we are waiting with bated breath to find out if the winner of the Democratic Iowa Caucus is the first gay gentleman to be a serious, openly gay gentleman. We didn't talk about Buchanan, but we brought him up a few times. Anyway, the first openly gay and male married candidate of a major party, also would be the youngest possible president ever, under 40 actually, first time. That would be Mr. Pete Buttigieg, with the exact correct pronunciation. Will it be two presidents who would celebrate their 80th birthday in office? The gentleman I call the Comeless Commie. Of course, that's Bernard Sanders of Vermont. And Grandpa Joe, or Sniffy, multiple names for him. Of course, that would be Mr. Joseph Biden of Delaware. Not Delaware, Ohio, which is very near to here, but Delaware, the state with only three counties, the second smallest state geographically after, of course, Rhode Island. See, Ron, I have nicknames for all these people. I don't discriminate. Even if I like the person, like Mr. Buttigieg or Mr. Biden, I still make fun of them, and I'm sure they would giggle just as much as I would. Let me introduce my co-host, brother in broadcasting, partner in crime for a finer mid-morning coffee break with Adam and the professor. It's Dr. Ronald L. Feynman from Florida. It's a little warm. It was warm yesterday, and it's possibly 50-plus today, a little bit above average. I guess there's no global warming. It's just must be all the hot air from all the politicians, so that's why it's kind of warm today. But, Ron, where you are in Florida, sometimes it gets, you know, 40s or 50s, but normally it's summer or late spring throughout the year. Of course, like myself, again, welcome you to our microphones, and for the 174th time, I believe. Like myself, you are waiting with bated breath to see which of the aforementioned people wins the...
Thank you for inviting me again.
No, my pleasure. My pleasure. Wins the Iowa caucus. Of course, we also have the female people, the one that Ron and I would probably prefer would actually win the whole thing, but I don't think it's going to happen. And that would be from a state where it's cold almost all the time, the land of the twins, Rose Nyland, and of course, Mary Tyler Moore and Ted Baxter. That would be Amy Klobuchar. And we also, I don't really have a nickname for her, just that nickname some of her staff members give her, but it's kind of rude, so we really can't even say it on the air, but you know what I mean. And we have the one with the common nickname, Pocahontas, and that would, of course, be Elizabeth Warren. And I believe she's from Massachusetts.
I want to interject here. Today's weather in Florida is actually quite chilly. It's in the 50s, similar to what you're having there. That shows you how crazy the weather system is. Yeah. And the other thing is, you brought up Delaware. An interesting historical fact, and most people don't know this. Delaware was first colonized by the Swedish. It was originally New Sweden, then became Dutch, and then became English. Of course, there were Native Americans there, but I'm talking about as far as Europeans coming in. It's the only colony started by Sweden, Delaware.
We have New York City, used to be New Amsterdam, if I'm not mistaken. So
that's the Dutch, yes. New York and New Jersey were Dutch, and Delaware became Dutch, but it started off as Swedish, and then it all became English-controlled, yes.
Well, isn't that fascinating? Of course, Ron has a Ph.D. in, I think, what I call presidentology. He's a scholar, probably one of the world's leading scholars on again, what I've coined the term presidentology, American history, politics.
Say that. I'm not going to say that. I don't brag about myself.
Yeah, unlike Donald, he's kind of a humble sort, but that's kind of how we roll here. Ron has been on with me many times, and he's on also with the interviewer to the stars, Scott Spears, from Time to Time, talking about politics. And we do invite you to, if you're not already doing this daily, please read his blog, which he's been publishing for over 11 years. It's called theprogressiveprofessor.com. Now, don't let the name fool you. Ron is a Democrat, but not one of these, I'll say it, wacko Democrats, Andrew Yang, Elizabeth Warren, and again, the aforementioned white-haired person from Vermont, Bernie. And he's 78, but he looks like he's 178. But he's not, Ron isn't an extreme Democrat like any of those three. He's a very moderate, and Amy Klobuchar, Joe Biden and Mayor, well, former Mayor Pete, he's not mayor anymore, but whatever, Mayor Emeritus Pete, more moderate type of a Democrat. And many of his articles, as we've talked about, Ron, many of your articles aren't politically slanted. They're just little tidbits of history, factoids, like you talked about from Sweden, New Amsterdam, New Sweden, whatever they called, Delaware, and just presidential trivia. Presidential assassinations is an interest of Ron's. He's written the book that I'm currently reading, and we'll be talking about on a future show. So stay tuned for that. It's about presidential assassinations and what could have happened if certain presidents were assassinated or were not assassinated. And I've learned many things. For example, Abraham Lincoln, you know, considered by many people, and I think Ron and I would be among those people, to be our greatest president ever. But he had a rough personal life. No secret, his wife was a bit of a, I don't know about tyrant, but she wasn't really the nicest person in the world. And Abraham Lincoln went through a lot of struggles, and it's talked about in his book, and it's quite fascinating. So we do invite you to check it out on Amazon or quite possibly a library near you. So anyway, Ron, there are, I can certainly think of three major news stories currently, but there are so many, four. We can talk a little bit about the tragic helicopter accident claiming the life of one of the greatest basketball players ever, Mr. Kobe Bryant. I think part of the story, Ron, was that other people in that helicopter also perished in the crash, and they weren't getting a lot of attention. It's like, well, Kobe Bryant is this big, fancy-dancy, rich celebrity, great player, you know, great role model. I mean, almost everybody, even if you're not a fan of his teams, almost everybody was a fan of him as a man, myself included. But what about the other people? Are they not as important because they're not celebrities? Well, I mean, you've probably seen all the rumblings on social media about that. Do we place a higher value on the life of a celebrity, of a famous athlete, in something like this where it's one very famous people and several other people that are not known at all? What was your thought when you were reading about that?
Well, I think that's sad, but I think that's true. But it's the same thing in any situation. Like when Ronald Reagan was shot in 1981, there was a couple of Secret Service agents that were harmed and others that were wounded, including his press secretary, but he got the most attention. That's just the way it is with celebrities, unfortunately, get more attention. But yeah. I wanted to mention the helicopter issue. I'm starting to think, why would anybody go in a helicopter? The President of the United States will fly out on a helicopter from the White House to Andrews Air Force Base. I'm starting to wonder if it's so safe. These helicopters are not, you know, I wonder if that's the best form of transportation for safety.
I personally don't think any type of air travel is safe. I haven't flown on a plane in about 22 years. I like flying. I just like to kind of stay on the ground. I also prefer if I'm doing the driving, and piloting an aircraft of some kind is not within my repertoire. I know it's a difficult job. I admire anyone in the piloting or airline or aircraft business, but I question the safety, and I kind of prefer to stay on the ground, which is unfortunate. But
the grounded is what they say, right?
Yeah. And, you know, with Reagan, yeah, good point. Of course, me always being enthralled by the broadcasting field when James Brady was shot and almost perished from the injuries, being the press secretary.
33 and a half years he lived beyond, yes.
I certainly had affection for him, knowing the importance of a press secretary's job and my interest in the press, which obviously continues to this day. You know, my jokes with Scott Spears, he'd be an excellent press secretary. I think he would. I think he'd be a great press secretary for any president. Not sure that would happen, but I think it would be a rather wise choice, in my opinion. So I certainly had.
But Mayor Pete, how's that?
Yeah, well, that could be interesting. You know, they're almost the same age, which is kind of
interesting. Yes, I know. That's why I put it up. I think Pete's a little bit older, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, within a few months, so that would be kind of interesting.
I didn't know that. Yeah.
All the little parallels we discover talking about what's going on in the great world we live in. Of course, other stories that are in the news, of course, the coronavirus, and people kind of joking about Corona beer, which I do enjoy drinking from time to time. And no, it's not related to Corona beer. It's an established type of virus, but this one, from my understanding, is especially bad. And it's coming from Wuhan, a part of China, and there have been travel restrictions, quarantines, and other things going on. Last Friday, the stock market tanked. The Dow dropped, I believe, almost 2%, about 600 points.
600 points, I think it was, yes.
The largest since October. Even though Amazon stock continues to keep creeping up there, it's over $2,000 a share. So again, what Jeff Bezos lacks in hair, he certainly makes up for in money, as we've talked about in the past. Ron, do you think that the coronavirus is being over-dramatized? Should it be affecting the stock market as much as it is? And people are talking, a couple of my friends talking about the influenza. There have been school districts in Ohio closed because of all the illnesses, kids having the flu. Are we kind of missing the real problem? Is it being over-dramatized, or is this really serious? Do we need to do all the quarantining? And is it logical for the stock market?
Well, I'm not a doctor, but I have a feeling it is serious, and I think it is important because of the fact that people travel all over the world now, and they can carry things with them on planes from one country to another. And so I would think that it is something to be concerned about. Like the Spanish flu in 1918 killed millions in the world, and actually, interestingly, my mother had a young brother who was a year old who died in 1918 because of the Spanish flu. So I think it's something to be cautious about and to be concerned about. And of course, I'm sure comedians are going to joke, don't go out and get Chinese food, which is of course silly, but I imagine it could affect Chinese restaurants.
Yeah,
it actually could, because some people get really scared and they overreact. So there's a tendency to overreact, but also it is something I think to be really concerned about.
What I can say, Ron, is if it affects Chinese food, I will be very sad, because that's a large part of my dietary intake.
That's why you brought it up. I like it also.
One issue, too. I know this is China. It's not Mexico or Canada. But yes, it does relate to border control. Is this an argument to make sure that we have strict borders? Was this kind of tell the people that are in favor of open borders that that isn't cool? Again, this is China. This isn't Mexico. This isn't a place where we have the obvious border problems right now. But does this kind of help the argument, which also means it helps Donald Trump? Does it help the argument, Ron, that we need tight border security, that one of the many reasons why we have border security, why we have organizations like ICE that are obviously controversial, why we have customs agents that seemingly strip search you if you're at the airport, is to keep diseases from spreading from one area into the United States? Does this strengthen that argument, or does it not make a difference from your end?
I think it's sort of like a mix of both. But I'll point out, as far as the wall idea, already it's been shown that that there was a flood somewhere in California and it knocked down one of these walls. I think just the environment itself will make the walls not last with this with this situation. And also, there was a tunnel they discovered from San Diego to Mexico that was more sophisticated than they've yet seen. So if people really want to come in illegally, they're going to come in anyway, even if you have a wall, because they'll find other ways to get in, and they could also bore holes in the walls. That's already happened and what's been done. So I don't think there's any proof, foolproof system to be able to avoid the fact of some people coming in who shouldn't
Correct.
Be coming in.
And I agree with you. I majored in chemistry, not mechanical engineering, and those kind of the kind of people that determine how strong this type of border control is. And it's rather embarrassing that that border wall tumbled over on the Mexican side. That doesn't look good. But as I asked Ron, with issues like diseases, and that is one reason why we have border security. Why, for example, you can't take certain foods from one country to the United States.
Yes, of course.
There are reasons why we have that. Does this strengthen the argument that border security is needed? It's not a fun thing. It's expensive. And we mentioned it can be embarrassing with this wall toppling over. But does this hurt the argument of those who want the open borders? They say, go ahead and just come into the country. We don't care what kind of diseases you have. Well, to me, it strengthens the argument greatly. And
diseases, obviously, we have to check on that. Yeah, that is important, no question.
But if we have open borders, we're not checking for anything. We just go ahead and come on in. Doesn't matter what kind of diseases you have or whatever else. Now, as you know, Ron, it can be a negative news item that helps the president. Like we talked about war, no president, I don't think, has ever lost in a second term. If the U.S. was at war, and we've kind of brought that up, this is obviously a negative story. People are dying. People are ill. Businesses are losing the amount of money they're worth. again, judged by the stock market, which didn't just drop on Friday. It was topsy-turvy all week. It was absolutely crazy. And who knows what's going to happen the next few days. Again, a lot of earnings reports coming out. The caucuses, it'll be an interesting week, I'll say that much. But this coronavirus is a negative story, but it obviously does draw attention to the need for border control. And we have candidates like Warren, who want to decriminalize the borders, Sanders also. I don't think Pete and Joe and Amy do, but they probably aren't as strict about the borders as Trump is. Bottom line is, does it make Trump and his desire to have strict border control, does it make him look good? Does it help his campaign at all? Just like the idea of being at war seems to help a president to get reelected, a negative event causing the increased likelihood of a president getting reelected. Is that something to think about, or am I maybe overanalyzing it?
I think it's something to think about, but still polls still show he does not go above low 40s in support. And based on that, he would not get reelected unless he can get higher than that. So I don't know. It's one of those tough issues because he's never been popular, and yet, somehow, the Republican Party is unwilling to, to speak up against anything he says or does. They're totally terrified of him. So I think they're going to go down this floor. I think there's going to be a big loss of Senate seats, I think, by the Republicans as a result.
More logically, it's going to hurt Warren and Sanders and other very left Democrats who are in favor of open borders or decriminalizing of breaking into the country, which is what illegal immigration is, and will help people like Klobuchar and Sniffy, that is Joe Biden, and former Mayor Pete, Mr. Buttigieg, because they are in favor of border security, and I think it'll come up exactly what they would do if there is a health emergency like we have right now.
No, I think moderate Democrats will win the day. Even though the talk is Iowa, maybe Bernie Sanders, I don't know if I believe it. We don't know. It's tonight and into tomorrow. But I can't see Bernie being the nominee. I just can't.
Yeah, I guess
Warren,
that's...
she's been slipping, so I don't think she's going to be the nominee either. I think it'll be one of the moderates.
And I think that's good news for us. I wouldn't mind seeing Biden, pending a good vice presidential choice. We can...
Like Amy.
Amy or Pete would be certainly someone I would enjoy having. Sherrod Brown, we've talked about. Mayor Pete, I don't think he's going to get it, but I he's appealing. Kind of hard to figure the guy, but the good outweighs the bad. Speaking of VP choices and stupid decisions and even saying stupid things, because Biden, kind of like John McCain, they're kind of similar in some ways. I mean, again, they're both very moderate, and they're both known for kind of saying things that are stupid and getting themselves into trouble. And we've already seen McCain making that stupid choice of the governor of, well, we called her the coldest state, hottest governor, Sarah Palin, as his VP. I mean, there were things about her that were appealing, but the bad outweighed the good, starting with the fact that she really wasn't very bright. And she also could kind of run her mouth, but again, not
she
bad.
She was a female Dan Quayle, I always say.
Yeah, as I said, female Dan Quayle, very, very similar, just from a much colder...
Good-looking guy, but not too bright.
much colder, geographically larger state. When Joe Biden, you heard this, Ron, was saying he wanted Michelle Obama as his vice president, was he kidding around? Does he kind of, I mean, he seems like he doesn't joke around. You and I joke around. He doesn't seem like he jokes around like you and I do. Is he actually serious? And is even if he joked around, was saying that going to help him or hurt him? What was going through your mind when you saw that? I'm sure you did.
Well, I think definitely it helps him to say that. What's interesting about all this is since Joe is going to be 78 in office, the theory is that he might not survive the term, God forbid, or if he had a second term, and then Obama's wife would end up in the White House. That's what's funny about it when you think about it. But I think that would appeal to a lot of people as a backup to have Michelle Obama, but I'm sure she wouldn't do it.
Was he kidding around, or was he serious? I'm not really sure.
I think he was half serious, half joking. I think he's thinking about it. I think he's thinking of having a woman on the ticket, and I guess he thinks Michelle would be even better than Amy Klobuchar. Honestly, she probably would if she agreed, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Well, we would get our wishes to have more healthy school lunches. So that's one thing that I do agree with Michelle on.
Yes.
And, with those muscular arms of hers, if Donald Trump were to misbehave or Mike Pence didn't want to leave the vice president's mansion, she probably could, because Mike Pence doesn't isn't that big of a guy. She could just lift him up and remove him and go ahead and move her family back in. So many things.
Yeah, I wanted to mention that Pete the other day was asked on Bill Maher about Trump, and you know, but what happens if Trump loses the election and refuses to leave? It was hilarious. And he said, well, if he refuses to leave, we'll have to share the White House because Chatson and I are going to be moving in. And I thought it was very funny.
Well, that would be quite interesting, and that would certainly be one for the tabloids, one for TMZ, and one for many shows we would have. Now, of course, if Michelle were to be VP, Barack Obama, would he be a good second lady, or what do you call him, second gentleman? That would be kind of interesting.
A former
president becoming the first second gentleman. That would be
that would be something else. Really new to, you know, suddenly be the mate of the vice president. Yes,
that would be quite
partner. Yeah,
and if something were to happen to Mr. Biden, Michelle Obama would be president, and that would kind of be what the Clintons were trying to do. Have the
yes.
Former first lady.
I think Hillary would be
president.
Very upset in the back of her mind that, damn it, I should have been there, not her.
And there, the I believe the first and only first ladies to be attorneys, if I'm not mistaken. You know, Melania, we kind of debate and joke about how intelligent she actually is, but she is multilingual, but her college degree, we need to find out, may have been fraudulent, but bottom line is she doesn't have
it
a JD degree like,
about that family.
Like Hillary Clinton and Michelle Obama do. So I mean, it could be interesting. I kind of thought that would hurt him because I don't know if it's serious. I don't think she'd be a good VP. I don't think she would want the job. And maybe it's time to think about people that would be a good choice. For example, it's time to start talking to Sherrod Brown and try to convince him because he would be a good choice. I know it would be two OWGs, two old white guys, but I think he would get the votes, certainly for the important state we live in, Ohio. And Biden, although he isn't perfect and he's too old and he's kind of goofy, I think the good outweighs the bad. Certainly he's experienced and he's very moderate. And I would pull the lever. I would, you know, I'd give him at least a B+, or a minus in terms of how appealing he would be. Ron, when do you think we're going to start hearing about the rumblings for vice president? I know we talk about this on every show. I've called your Here Be Monsters show you're on sometimes and talked to you and Gwen and Wayne and the other guy whose name I forget.
Dak Childell.
I'll try to remember that. And anyway, when do you think we may have some more info about these vice presidents? And I honestly think that's more interesting than the president. When do you think we can maybe get some definitive information?
Once we start winnowing out who's going to be knocked out in these first primaries and caucuses in this first month, because not all of them are going to survive after March 3rd. March 3rd is the Super Tuesday. That's going to really have a lot of impact. And after that, I think we'll have narrowed down a lot and we'll have people knocked out and others can be thought of for VP, yes.
Bottom line is February is going to be a crazy month. And when March turns around, 2 weeks before St. Patrick's Day, this Super Tuesday, that will be the defining moment, and I would tend to agree with you. So
and March 17th, which is, of course, St. Patrick's Day, will also be the day of the Florida primary. I'll be voting at that point. So, Florida comes 2 weeks after Super Tuesday.
Would I be correct in that you'll be voting for Sniffy or maybe Amy as your second choice? Can you disclose
I'm about to publish on the Progressive Professor my endorsement. I'll say this. I'd vote for any Democrat in November, but I'm going to endorse Pete Buttigieg.
You are going to vote for Pete Buttigieg, who is almost...
Unless he's out of the race by if he doesn't do well and he drops out. But otherwise, I plan to vote for him, yes. And I think he'd be the best choice. I really do think so.
Well,
but
tuned.
I'd also support Joe or Amy. And I would vote for whoever the nominee is, including Michael Bloomberg, you know, if he is. But I'd like to see Pete. I think it'd be great to have a new generation. I'm going to write that, indeed, Kennedy was a new generation, and so like a dark horse, as they say, when he first ran as a Catholic. Jimmy Carter, as a Southerner, we hadn't elected one since 1848 with Zachary Taylor, was certainly a dark horse. And then in 1992, Bill Clinton certainly was not the front runner in the beginning and lost Iowa, but still won New Hampshire. So he was a comeback kid, and he was sort of like a new generation, and then Obama was. So I really think that's what we need, and I'd like to see it happen.
So stay tuned, boys and girls, for Dr. Ronald Fineman's official endorsement. But you're also mentioning you are a vote blue, no matter who, person. It's actually no matter
who. Well, I will not vote for Donald Trump. No, I will not. So, see, if it was someone like, let me see. If I can't even imagine who among the people now, but I, in the past, if it had been a Nelson Rockefeller type, I would have considered voting for such a person. Maybe even a George Romney, not Mitt Romney, but George Romney. But that's long ago. The Republican Party, as I point out, is not the same party anymore. So I could not vote for any Republican. And it's not going to be any alternative. And the only alternative at the moment, if something happened to Trump, would be Mike Pence. And I think that'd actually be worse in a way because of his crazy religious beliefs. I don't like them. So no, I definitely will vote blue in November. Even if it's Bernie, even though I'll hold my nose and say, oh my gosh, we're going to lose, but I'd vote for him. I would not stay home.
Now, if the Republican nominee were someone other than Trump, let's take two people that I know you like. I'm not going to include Nikki Haley because she's, although you basically like her, she's fallen out of favor. So I'll pick Mr. Weld and, of course, Mr. Kasich. Let's say the Democrat was someone you didn't like, and I don't think you like Yang. So Yang, or I don't think you like Warren either. So Yang, Warren, or Sanders. If one of them, would you vote for any of them over either someone, a Republican you like, for example, Kasich or Weld?
Kasich, think about it. That was Weld, I don't think. Kasich, I think about it, but I don't know. I think unlikely, but it's a possibility, but it's not going to happen. There's no way Kasich is going to be the nominee. But
yeah,
I've always said Kasich.
Just doing some scenarios.
John Huntsman. I like John Huntsman, you know, the former ambassador to Russia who ran in 12 and was ambassador to China under Obama. Those two are the only ones I can see even thinking about. Huntsman probably more than Kasich, but there's no indication he's going to be running.
But Kasich would more than likely give us an Ohio victory, and that's pretty important if you want to be president as Ohio.
And Huntsman might also.
In terms of,
but he's running for governor of Utah again. Now,
the Democrats, as I mentioned, I really like Steyer in that last debate. He shone. In fact, I would even say he won the debate. And as I said, and I think you would agree, he's like Trump in that he's a CEO type, a businessman. I mean, more self-made. Donald Trump is partially self-made, partially inherited, and partially who knows what. Steyer does seem, especially for a corporate executive type, he seems very ethical, you know, likable. Likeable type, kind of like Joe Biden, kind of like your cool uncle or your cool grandfather. However, the difference was that he would be more of a gentleman than Trump. He has a more likable history, and on issues like choice, etc., the environment, he would be more in line with how people like Ron and myself believe. Bottom line is, he would have and Ron has admitted there are a couple things about Trump that he likes. I have more things about Trump that I like, but in general, he's out there. Let's put it that way. But bottom line is, Steyer would have many of those businessman qualities that would make Trump appealing, while having the Democratic people qualities that we both like. But Steyer doesn't have a chance. Although I think we both like him, he's not going to happen, right?
I don't think so, but Bloomberg could. He spent $200 million already, and he was mayor of New York for 12 years. Not perfect, but he has a record, and I think Bloomberg could be the dark horse that ends up the nominee. But the question is, he's going to be in the Nevada debate that's coming up, and there are many who think that's not a good thing because he doesn't meet the normal standards, that they're changing the rules. But I think Bloomberg is someone we have to watch.
Yeah, I not a fan of the guy, but I do like Steyer. But you would agree with me, Ron, there's no point voting for Steyer because he's not going to win, that I should vote for Pete, Amy, or Joe if I choose to vote as a Democrat, which I probably will. Steyer just isn't going to happen.
Yes.
So there's really no point. But maybe sometime, of course, he's in his 70s, so I'm not sure that there's much left in terms of future elections. But maybe there could be a place for him, maybe in the cabinet or whatever. So.
Yeah, I must say that there's a good possibility we will have an octogenarian as president next term. If Biden, Bloomberg, or Sanders wins, they'll all reach 80 within a year or two. And I'm not sure that's a good thing, but they all would be 80. So the oldest being Sanders, next oldest Bloomberg, and the baby of the group you want to call it Biden. But I'm not sure that's a great thing. I really think we need a new generation. That's why I'm very much behind Pete, and I hope he can go all the way.
And if Trump wins, and again, I've kind of alluded to this, I believe that he will have a second term. He would not quite be 80, but be pushing 80. So whatever happens, it will be an interesting several months. Fasten your seatbelts, boys and girls. It's going to be an interesting ride. I want to mention about Amy Klobuchar. she's the perfect age. She's about 60, so not too young, not too old, you know, not drop dead gorgeous, I mean, like Melania, but not bad looking, very well kept. She presents herself well, and that does help. She has a businesswoman look to her, I believe, in a presentation, but still has that feminine side that people like myself and Ron would like to see in a president. I mean, Donald Trump is so rough around the edges. You kind of wish someone would be a little bit softer. We saw that with Hillary too. That she, you know, she cried a couple times, and she can be tough, but she can also have that grandmotherly approach to her, which I find very appealing. And I think we see some of the same thing in Klobuchar. Plus, again, the rumors that Klobuchar wasn't necessarily nice to her staff with that Klo middle word, which sounds like the middle syllable, R. Same thing about Hillary. And depends who you ask. Some people say she was nice. Some people say she wasn't. We have a little inside information here at the station with Mary Ellen Withrow, who certainly knows her quite well. And she only has good things to say about Hillary. So who knows? I don't know Hillary, but whatever. No matter who you are, you got to be mean sometimes. So that to me isn't a bad point. If anything, it's a good point.
Yeah, I wanted to mention the issue of African Americans and the Democratic nominees. They're really behind Joe Biden, even though his record was not all that good in the 90s, as African Americans see it. But on the other hand, now Amy Klobuchar is being accused of being harsh toward this young man who's now in his 30s, who's in prison for life, who apparently they think was railroaded. There's a big controversy that's just come out this past week. And, of course, Pete seems to have trouble because of what's happened in South Bend, Indiana, when he was mayor. So I think it's a real issue. Will African-Americans support anyone other than Joe, who they're seemingly forgetting that he was very hard line on crime in the 90s, and many people were critical of him then, African-Americans, and now they're forgetting it. So it's a big issue of how African Americans are going to react to these different candidates.
I think that his boss, Joe Biden being an OWG, his boss being a fairly young, middle-aged black gentleman, Mr. Obama, for 8 years, and they worked well. People don't forget that Biden doesn't care if his boss is black and is younger. And that is a good, even if you are not in a minority, you know, someone like myself, I would agree. That shows that he has character, that he really is a gentleman, that he can work with all kinds of people. And that is a good point. And that does help. And that, along with the general down-to-earth and honest nature of Biden, he seems a little too nice to be a politician, to be a president. He doesn't have...
He's a real nice guy, yeah.
Yeah, the rough-around-the-edges approach that Trump does, which may or may not be good. Again, people have said they like Trump because he's like that. I mean, whatever floats your boat. But Biden is a very different type of personality. And bottom line, again, is if he is the nominee, as I suspect he will be, the debates will certainly be interesting. More great TV ratings. As we run down the stories that have occurred since we...
And he has a bit against Pence. Then it'll be two Indianans, one who's gay and the other who's anti-gay, as I've mentioned before. That would be interesting.
That would certainly be one for the masses. As we go down all the stories and happening since we last shared the microphones, Ron, we'll run out of time, but did want to cover this one. Of course, I've joked about how Donald Trump and Boris Johnson, Prime Minister of the UK, kind of look alike, kind of the same hair. They might actually be the same person, but let's assume that they aren't. Boris Johnson has become more powerful as Brexit has taken place. The UK is no longer part of the European Union. Ron and I do not agree on this. Now, I'm not an expert on international politics. Our mutual friend, Nick C.J., he'd been a friend and business associate of mine for 7 years. His politics, and he's in Wales, and he's an IT guy like myself, so he and I talk almost every day. His politics and mine are very similar, economically, governmentally conservative, people issues, much more to the left, in my case, far left in some cases. And he's in Wales, just about 30 miles or 50 kilometers over the border. He is very pro-Brexit. Ron is not pro-Brexit. I am, although I'm not really an expert. I kind of get my knowledge from my friend Nick in Wales. I feel that there's too much consolidation. We need countries to have their own identity. The UK is already a conglomerate of several countries. You know, we have Ireland with their disputes, Scotland, as you probably saw, Ron, now talking about independence. So Wales and England,
yes, it's going to happen, I think. After 313 years, it's going to happen, I think.
I mean, Wales and England, yeah, they're essentially separate nations, but they're all the same government. I'm not sure if that's correct because I'm not a just a goofy chemistry major, but I believe that that's correct. They need to be part of this European Union where it's like none of these countries, I mean, Germany, Poland, these places don't have their own identity anymore. And I say, yes, separate from England. Doesn't mean we don't like Germany and Spain and France and Poland anymore. We just want to be a separate country. But you feel, Ron, that Brexit was a bad idea. Will it have an impact on our economy? Will it affect the stock market like the coronavirus is doing?
Well, already there's disputes about the fact that Trump and Johnson don't agree on a number of issues. I think our relationship with what was the United Kingdom is going to not be the same because I don't think Johnson wants to be seen as a Trump, copycat. I think he's an individual, and I think there's going to be more troubles with all of Europe. I think he's messing up our European alliances, our president. I think it's a big disaster, and we need to restore it as it was. And I don't think the United Kingdom will last, and I think Great Britain, as it's been called, will no longer be a major nation because it's going to end up being probably three nations. I think England and Wales will remain, and Scotland will become independent, and Northern Ireland might join with Ireland. So they're going to lose a lot of their, a lot of their population and territory, and I think it's a mistake.
It seems like there's been a lot of stuff going on in the UK, and just before Brexit, we had the fact that Prince Harry and his lovely wife Meghan are no longer part of the royal family. They're going to live in Canada and kind of do their own thing. But a lot of UK stuff going on of late. And
not for the best, I don't think. Because I think Queen Elizabeth may not have control of her castles in Scotland if Scotland breaks away. Who knows what's going to happen with that? Because she wouldn't be queen of that area if Scotland becomes independent. That'd be very interesting to see how that would be handled.
On top of all the interesting stuff going on in this country, Ron, we have stuff going on in the UK. It has been a busy time. No wonder my CNN.com has been probably the biggest website that I've been visiting the last year. It's going to increase. And we have the election. We have the coronavirus. We have the topsy-turvy stock market, topsy-turvy oil prices and precious metal prices. And now it's going on in the United Kingdom. It is just it is really a busy time. 2020 is not disappointing for anybody who likes to follow a lot of news and a lot of juicy gossip. It's only going to get more interesting, boys and girls.
Plus the Middle East with this supposed plan between Israel and the Palestinians by genius Jared Kushner, who's no genius.
So if you tone down your dislike of Brexit, Ron, are you still of the belief that it was not a good idea?
I still think it was not a good idea, and I think it will end up being an economic disaster for the United, what has been the United Kingdom, yes.
But we'll find out, right?
I hope not, but I think it will
be.
I am an
out.
Anglophile, but I think it was a mistake.
So the relationship between Boris Johnson and Donald Trump is suffering due to this.
Yes, I think it is. On a number of issues, including this issue of the Chinese technology, you know, about accepting Chinese technology. The U.S. doesn't want them to, and it looks like the British are going to move in that direction. So Johnson's separating himself quite a bit from Trump, which may be smart on his part, but it indicates that Trump is not having good relationships with really any European country right now.
Do you think Boris Johnson should maybe get a new hairstyle so he doesn't look as much like Donald Trump? They kind of have the same hair. Might that be a good idea?
I think Boris Johnson shouldn't be prime minister is what I think, but who am I to say?
Well, we shall find out. And, of course, last but not least,
Theresa May back.
it appears, Ron, that the impeachment is over. Am I not mistaken? Our mutual Facebook friend Joshua F., who is quite a bit to the left, he and I were talking about that the other day. Is the impeachment pretty much over? Is it over and done with? Trump was not guilty. They didn't want to call any more witnesses. What is the current status, or am I jumping the gun a little bit?
Well, the final vote will be on Wednesday, but clearly they're not going to remove him. He's been impeached, though. That's forever. But has not been convicted and has not been removed. But only two people, Romney and Collins, were willing to say they wanted, indeed, extra evidence and witnesses. And I'm disappointed, and I wrote about Lamar Alexander, because I think leaving, he should have taken a stronger stand. And if he had done so, Lisa Murkowski probably would have joined him, and then there would have at least been more discussion and more testimony, more witnesses. But it's not going to change the result anyway. We all knew that we were not going to get 67 votes to remove. So I think this will embolden Trump, and I think it makes him more dangerous for this, for the next 9 months, exactly 9 months to the election. And I am concerned that there could be a major crisis where he abuses powers even more. And that's the thing that worries me.
And there have been people talking on social media. Our Ohio Senator, Mr. Rob Portman, who's rather moderate, one of the more moderate.
I'm surprised he didn't support the idea of having more.
Now, he's saying, I think, kind of saying what a lot of people are. Yes, Donald Trump made a boo-boo, a very bad boo-boo, and we're not happy about it. But he has
a
country to run.
President. He would never say he's wrong. That's the problem.
He has a country to run. We have an election and other problems going on. It's not worth trying to pursue it because it's just never going to happen. And I would tend to agree. I mean, he's saying, yes, he's guilty. I mean, he's certainly saying that and saying it quite definitively. But is it worth pursuing because there are so many other things we need to have on our plate? And that, it seems kind of logical. He's trying to make peace with everybody, but there are people that certainly are taking issue with what he said. I just don't think it's something that could be pursued and could be won. We have other things to worry about. The system is messed up, Ron. There's no question. I think it should be easier to remove a president. It seems like CEOs of companies are being removed all the time through easier processes. And I understand it's not a full apples-to-apples comparison. But I think we do need to reform this impeachment system. I'm not sure that will happen. But the current system really is broken, and it really is just a big joke. It just does seem like it's a big waste of taxpayer money and time, and we got other things to worry about. But I'm not smart enough.
It's interesting that Mitt Romney did vote for witnesses. Isn't that interesting? The 2012 nominee for president did vote, and I give him credit for that.
But I'm not smart enough to know what the better way to do it is. I just don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. But again, I would say between this impeachment that Donald Trump has essentially beat, yes, he was impeached, but he's still in office, and it's really just semantics, and the border control issue, and again, the fact that the tensions with Iran, when there is a war or some other kind of foreign issue like that, involving unfortunate circumstances, that does seem to help a president, even though it comes from a very negative story. Negative event, but that's kind of how things work in this country. We'll talk more next week, Ron, after the results of the Iowa caucuses have been provided. Maybe some surprises, who knows, and we'll get closer and closer to the Super Tuesday and the March 17th balloting for yourself and other Floridians. Before we say
I wanted to mention that tomorrow, Tuesday, is the State of the Union. It's going to be interesting to see, since it's not officially over, although the trial is basically done, how the president reacts being introduced by Pelosi and having Chief Justice Roberts in attendance. That's going to be very interesting on Tuesday night.
Oh, yeah. We know how much Nancy Pelosi likes Donald Trump. Those two are just best bosom.
Yeah, I've been joking
buddies.
With people that she's going to introduce him this way, that I have the distinct honor and privilege of presenting to you the scumbag for the United States.
Well, that would certainly be intriguing. I'd love to be a spot on the wall if that's what she says. Before we say goodbye, Ron, and look forward to our get-together next week. I know you're teaching several classes in Florida there and as a professor.
Yes.
How are your classes going? Are you getting a lot of students that are interested because of the crazy political climate right now? How is the teaching going along?
Yes, it's been great discussions in class. And seems like, I mean, I don't take a tally. I think most people are not pro-Trump. I think most people are anti-Trump or neutral. I don't see very many people who are pro-Trump, although I make it clear everybody has a right to their view and should speak up. But you never know. You might, possibly make people feel uncomfortable if people are speaking up against Trump. I don't know. But I'm finding mostly in favor of removing Trump or wishing him not to be reelected in any case.
I would think that more students are choosing political science as a major.
It's a law degree. Most people go for law. And as we know, law is a good degree, particularly if you're a good liar. Lawyer.
Yeah. Well, it is good for liberal arts colleges. It's good for National Enquirer and other gossip publications and good for talk radio. Ron, thank you so much for joining us again on a finer mid-morning
great time. Thank you.
Coffee break with Adam and the professor. Another great discussion. Barely scratched the surface of all the issues, but we covered Brexit, we covered Iowa, covered the coronavirus, and of course covered the impeachment. that appears to have...
to avoid Chinese food, as I'm telling you, I'm kidding.
Well, if we have to avoid Chinese food, I would be a very unhappy man. Let's put it that way. So I'll continue eating the kind of food that I love, and Chinese food is very healthy, so I do enjoy partaking in it, and I will continue to do so. Thanks again, Ron. Have a great rest of your week. Please visit Ron's blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com, and send me an email. Questions, comments, complaints, suggestions, all welcome. Adam at WWGH1071.com.